much appreciated and valued. May I thank you, Honourable William, for your sterling effort at chairing. Thank you very much. And we do have quite a full team here, which is great. And we, as you know, we're back on the sugar industry, having asked the Department of Trade and Industry to give us a progress report. And then we did ask those directly affected, such as the sugar, South African Sugar Association and cane growers, to be here, as is done, you know, quite fair for them to hear what has been said. But let us get to the agenda here. And as I said, we've done the opening and welcome. During that welcome, I should let you know, quite unexpectedly, I was called by the newspapers regarding the release of the committee bill. And I would hope it came out reasonable. So perhaps it will be there today in the Cape Times. Let's look at the progress report. Members, we will be going on until about 10:45 or so, you know, depending on just how this goes. It is not our intention, Honourable Williams, to delay things. All right. But can we have someone on that note to adopt the agenda? Thank you, Honourable Van Stolzbeek, seconded by the Honourable Giacomo. We then have the apology. We have the Honourable Ficharlia. You know, we need a reason. They can't just say someone's absent.
No.
No. Is that the only person? Right. Okay. Are you wanting to clarify that?
Yes, it's busy with party matters, Chairperson. That was the reason for me being
party
absent.
Business.
Yeah.
Right. Then we're moving straight on into the progress report by the Department of Trade and Industry. Thank you very much for coming here, DG October. Thank you. Thank you for your other help over the weekend. We also have here the Chief Director of IDD Agro Processing Division, Ms. Nkomisa Nkata Mhlawuli. How do you pronounce the second part of the name? Mhlawuli. Oh, more of it, right. Welcome back, Ms. Jody Scholz. We thought we'd lost you to the east, but you're back here, and your sojourn, I hope, was you enjoyed it. And then we also have Mr. And of course that is the group COO, Mr. Leonard Lumder. Is that right? Acting Director, Agro Processing. Oh, is it Lamola? My word, who wrote this? Right, not yourself, I take it. Right. On that note, I should just mention the technician has given us a long story, which I don't want to waste time on, about how things go on and off as if we didn't know. The reality is, there isn't an overhead. That's the reality. But we all have got hard copies, have we not? Right. So, DG, it's just one of these things. I'm sorry. Over to you.
Thanks, Honourable Chair. And, Chair, as we agreed, I would give an update on the progress to you. So we'll just briefly take you through it. Let me just firstly thank the committee on behalf of the DTI and the Minister for your leadership and guidance on this very, very difficult issue that you have assisted us. And so as you recall, on the matter appeared before the Portfolio Committee on the 12th of October, 10th November, I think it was on the... you agreed that we would come back to you on the 20th, which is today, to give you a full update on the progress that we've made. If you recall, the background to this issue is that SAFDA has argued that they are not recognized in the industry and that their interests are not being represented in the sugar industry and within the South African Sugar Association. If you recall, SAFDA broke away from the Cane Growers Association in 2015, and we have been dealing with this matter since that time, and we have been through various processes to try to resolve the matter, including mediation. Just to take you back to what were the decisions then of the committee, the first decision that was made on the 10th of November by yourself is that firstly, you were calling on Sugar Association and on the cane growers should comply with the instructions issued by the DTI or the request from DTI on the 20th of April and the 20th of October. Those letters basically said that we should implement the recommendations that was mediated by Charles Newpen, and that we should proceed on that basis, and that basically SAFTA should be recognized. You also decided that that in the event that there is no cooperation from the parties, that you would request the Sugar Association to review the membership and levies payable to cane growers in the event of no progress on the matter. You also directed that the minister should consider amending both the regulations, and you yourself will amend the act in the event that so that we can give effect to the recognition of that. So, Honourable Chair, to then give progress, as I know there has been clear progress on implementing your recommendations, and we have tried to implement them in full. I must then thank that we had the strong cooperation from the Sugar Association. We met with the Executive Chair, we met with the Chair, the Deputy Chair, and the CEO, Executive Director of SASA, and we worked on an agreed a plan on implementing that recognition of SASA. We also then sought, in order to make the matter legally consistent and in line with both the SASA Constitution and in terms of the legislation, we received inputs from the Millers Association on how to effectively amend the Constitution, amend the regulations, and ensure that we act strictly in terms of the Constitution, because if you recall, that was your request, that we must do it in a lawful and legal manner. The second request you made was that you said we should look at the BEE status of the Cane Growers Association. So we have commenced that process. We have our legal department is now fully involved in this process. So firstly, we're going to be looking at any BEE certificates from the association. We are looking at the organizational structure of the Cane Growers Association. We are going through the latest financial reports and status, and then we are looking at the employment equity plan and the report and any transformation plans that was there. So we're doing just a review of the current status, and then, as I said, we will bring in a service provider then to do a thorough audit and a BEE verification of cane growers as per your request. We also then met with the South African Sugar Association and agreed on the process. As I said, it was then agreed that we would give effect to that. We would then have to amend the constitution of SASA, which will allow for membership of SAFTA on a 50-50 basis. What we did agree is that this is a what they call in economics a second-best solution. That ideally we would have liked a negotiated settlement between cane growers and SAFTA as per, or that was, as you said, what was done by Charles Newpen. So we regard the current arrangement of getting SAFTA recognized on a 50-50 basis with cane growers as an interim arrangement. And therefore we have then brought on board again the services of Charles Newpen, to also simultaneously start the mediation process to look at a long-term and more inclusive solution to the problem. And I think we can report here that mediation will now commence tomorrow, I hear, in Durban. So that process will run along simultaneously with this process. That, as I said, the ideal solution is a mediated and negotiated solution by all the parties. Everybody will be in that mediation. Just obviously the millers will be there, SAFTA will be there, cane growers will be there. We've also, SAFTA has agreed to also participate in the mediation. The DTI will be there, and then the mediator will be available for, I think, 2 or 3 days to try to resolve that matter as well, simultaneously. Honourable Chair, you will see later, in terms of the SASA constitution, if they need to call a general meeting, they need to give 21 days notice. So they have given that that meeting will then be on the 12th. On the 12th of December will be the general meeting of SASA, where they will then consider those amendments to the constitution. As I said, this thing goes along so that there will be that special general meeting, and again to thank SASA for acting quite expeditiously on this matter. And as I said, they have secured then the services again of Charles Newpen to carry on. As I said, that meeting, the special meeting then will be on the 12th of December in Kwashukela the mediation starts tomorrow, the 12th. So the relationship between these two issues then is, we said that we cannot no longer delay the issue of recognition of SAFTA. That meeting will be on the 12th of December. What we are saying is that we really ask it to be a consensual meeting and that it gets ratified. But as you know, the association consists of the millers and the cane growers are the existing members. So the existing members do have, in a sense, the capacity under the existing legislation to, in a sense, to block that amendment. So we have asked SASA to provide leadership on this matter and to really to ask the parties. So we expect everybody to act in good faith and to do that. We have told them if parties act in bad faith, then of course the matter will have to go. We will have to recommend them to the minister to then amend the regulation. And then also we will have to come to Parliament to say, can you review the act if necessary? But it cannot be that you have a party drawing the benefits of the law in terms of and failing to give recognition to others. So we know the long history of battles of recognition, and clearly we would see any attempt to exclude parties from the from SASA to exclude that would be an act of bad faith. But as I said, we hope and we do hope that the parties resolve it. Actually, at the mediation over the next 3 days, hopefully they resolve everything, and that has always been our first prize, and that is the best way to manage matters, is for the parties to reach their own solution and so on. But we then, as I said, hopefully they resolve it. If they do or don't, whatever, then the matter, it will be, hopefully the recommendations that get voted on at the 12th of December will be an agreed position by all parties. So that is the ideal situation. Honourable Chair, then just to conclude with the final issue about the G7, not like the Zimbabwe G40, but the G7 here is a... we did receive official notification from G7 to say that they also want to be recognised as an interest group within the cane growers. What we have said to them is that we have written back to them to say that we do, we recognize that they have now, they want to constitute themselves as an association in the industry. But we've asked them that we, as I said, as a DTI, we obviously choose, we take no sides. We will then deal with that request. We will meet with them and we will meet with the executive, just like we did when we received the request from SAFTA. we met with them, we then understood the position, we then went to the other parties to say, can you accommodate this party within your association, alternatively, and so on. So we will do exactly the same process with the G7, and so on. But what we did emphasize to them is that they do not, they cannot use their request to block an existing request for membership, and so on. They cannot hold up the existing process of SAFTA's membership while we consider their membership, because SAFTA has been busy on this matter since 2015. So, but we obviously, I did speak to them, and we will meet with them still, maybe even this year still. If not, we will meet early in the new year, and then we will deal with them. And as I said, we will, and as I said, we want this industry, industry association must be broadly representative of the entire industry. All interest groups must be represented, no matter how small you are. And therefore, that principle applies even to G7 and so on. So, Honourable Chair, in conclusion, then we hope that I think we've got all the parties seems to be on board in taking this process forward, and hopefully we will be commencing the mediation soon, tomorrow exactly, and then there'll be the meeting on the 12th of December. Hopefully, everything will be resolved in by year end. If not, then we will have to come back to you in terms of in the new year to either amend the legislation as a last resort. It would be.
Well, it certainly sounds like something has moved from what you are saying, DG. And you're saying that so far your discussions, engagements have been constructive. Did I hear that correctly? And there's now going to be the special meeting tomorrow to move the process further. Just allow me to enable the members, if they wish to clarify, comment, before we ask for the other stakeholders. Honourable Williams? Yes. Honourable Yesterhazen? Honourable Slanguini? Honourable Mantash? In that order.
Thank you, Chair. Chair, in the meeting that we had on the last meeting we had, we recommended that we suspend the levies with immediate effect, and I just want to know what's happening with that, because we said that, and you didn't mention that at all, DG. And then secondly, I just want to make a comment. What must be remembered here is what we're looking for as a committee is transformation of the sugar industry, and people mustn't think that we're just coming here to take stuff away from one and just give it to the other. We want proper transformation whereby everybody will benefit from this industry. And we cannot be just left in the hands of a few white individuals. We need to have serious transformation, and it must be agreed upon. So if the organizations got together and came up with a transformative plan that everybody agreed to, then there wouldn't be a problem. We wouldn't have to go down the road where we change legislation in order to force transformation, because we don't really want to force transformation, but if we have to, we will. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you very much, Honourable Williams. Honourable Yesterhazen.
Madam Chair, thank you. I unfortunately have other meetings on Tuesdays and Fridays, so I missed, I think, most of this. But I've read the conclusions here. There's one or two points that I want to raise.
On the DG,
I think it's essential that a compromise position must be reached in this matter. Yesterday we heard the Minister of Finance in the House say that every organization must embrace transformation. And I think SAFTA must be accorded a voice and recognition. And this cannot be accomplished between stakeholders in this matter, then it would be for the DTI to step in if this cannot happen. But just mentioning the levies now, I haven't really said it. If cane growers supply cane to the millers, they're entitled to the levy. Is it lawfully, can you stop the levy? I don't think so. There will be, there could be a compromise and court cases about that. I also see you now in the DG, Mr. Tobin mentioned the special meeting in Durban on the 12th. I also think that I support this matter to stand over until the 12th, after we have a feedback from the committee, and then on the earliest date next year, we take this up further. This is a 14 billion rand plus a year industry, the cane growers. Regulation is important, and deregulation is also, you know, could destroy this industry. So we must be very careful in our decisions, and I think oversight is also impossible. We don't do enough of that. Thank you, Madam Chair.
Yeah, I certainly agree with the second point. We must get on buses and taxis or whatever, Honourable Thangweni.
Thank you very much, Chair. Thank you, DG, for the presentation and the update on the matter. Just one or two clarifying questions, DG. I'm just a little bit concerned regarding... was this Charles Newford not the one that mediated before? Because, remember, I think we got a presentation that he mediated before in the industry, and then SA Cane Growers went back on what was the mediating agreements upon. So I'm not convinced that this guy will be able to assist if SAA cane growers went back on some things that were agreed upon within the mediating process. So I think I'm not convinced. I don't know how can we assist Chair in the whole process, because this was the very same guy that was supposed to mediate, and he got, I'm sure, a whole sum of money to do this process, and he didn't help the industry. So I think in that essence, I don't know how on this stage, Chair, like the other colleagues can give ideas and stuff like that. Maybe the DG can assist us with ideas, but I'm really not convinced that this Charles Newford guy will do any justice to where the situation is now at this stage. Secondly, Chair, I just want to find out, the 12th December is a special meeting on changing the constitution of SASA, and if this meeting for some of odd reason don't fit, maybe perhaps they don't meet a quorum, for any odd reason the meeting don't fit, what will our next steps be as a committee to enforce that the transformation in this industry? So, having said that, Chair, I will maybe move with a proposal. I don't know how is it going to play effect, DG will advise us and your legal team will advise us. And if that were to happen or that meeting were to sit and the constitution were not amended or it doesn't sit for some odd reason, they didn't meet quorum or so forth, because we have seen some of the delaying tactics in the transformation agenda within this industry, that we perhaps move with maybe the clause that and I think it will come in with the levies and so forth, what Mr. Williams have asked. Maybe then I can also say that maybe perhaps we need to suspend some of the clauses, or I don't know legally how or what can we do. So you will guide us in terms of your department, your mandate, and then you will guide, and then we will be guided by our mandate, Chair. So because of the nature of the year that we are at, session that we are in terms of the year, and then for next year and all of the political dynamics that we are in, you know, we don't want to leave this industry unchanged, and we will want to be hands-on. And I want to agree with Honourable Eustason to do proper oversight in this industry. I will come back with a follow-up when I hear the DG's answer to pertaining to levies, Chair. And I know my other colleagues will also want to speak. Let me not take all of their time. Thanks, Chair.
Thank you very much, Honourable Thangweni. Honourable Mantashe.
Thank you, Chair. Good morning to everybody. We accept the presentation by the DG or the response, but I am also concerned because there's no mention of what has been done in as far as levies are concerned, as it was a resolution of the last meeting. Again, Chairperson, I am worried that DG is putting on kid gloves in dealing with the matter. Because in a normal situation, I don't know, this is my gut feeling, that maybe the department, they should consider suspending some of the regulations, clauses in the regulation, in especially that those that deal with the levies. Because if this mediation by Charles Newman failed before, I am not sure and I'm not convinced that bringing him back will change the attitude of SACTA. And in that effect, that's why I am proposing the suspension of the some clauses in the regulation so that the department can do proper intervention. We can't go on like this, comrades. We're talking of economic transformation here. And we must not be wishy-washy about it. We are here to oversee that it happens. And we need not nurse feelings of individuals. It is about a nation. We value that industry. But it can't bear the cost of the other parties. The status quo cannot continue, comrades. Mm-hmm. It can't. And I also want to check DG together with the industry whether in the leadership of both SACTA and the Millers,
yes,
there are no conflicting interests that block progress in implementing the resolutions of this committee. Can we be appraised who sits in which committee amongst all these things? Because if that happens, we'll have no progress. When there's conflict of interest, there becomes a problem.
Yeah.
Thank you, Chair.
Thank you very much, Honourable Manta, Honourable Elders.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I have also
just for one moment, please.
Okay.
Thank you very much, Honourable Albert.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I also missed some of the previous discussions on this matter, but I am quite well versed on the sugar industry. I want to come a little bit from left field. I think there's another matter that also deserves attention, and it might not have to be dealt with now, but it needs to be dealt with in the future. And that's that the sugar agreement does potentially allow for the outlawing of the manufacture of other forms of types of sugar, if I can call it that, like fructose. And I know there are a couple of entrepreneurs, black and white, who would like to set up fructose factories, but they are scared to do so because you just need to add the word fructose into the sugar agreement and then the sugar monopoly can outlaw the manufacture of fructose in South Africa. At the moment, we import most of our fructose. So I think we need to have a look at that so that there's a balance between sugar manufacturing and fructose manufacturing in South Africa, and the sugar lobby needs to come to the party in that respect. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Honourable Albert. Is that a full commentary by the member, Honourable Tiako?
Thanks, DG, the team. We welcome the report and the briefing as instructed on from the last meeting. I want to check the legality of suspending the levies, whether if that's where you are finding it difficult, then there are legal implications or what. That's what I want to know.
Thank you very much, Honourable Tiako. I have a few questions or seeking clarification here myself. There was a reference to a meeting that SASA was going to take. I think it was on the 15th, 16th of November. Is that right?
17. Right, that meeting took place, 16th November. It took place, right? There was a special general meeting to be convened in for adoption. The first question that I have is, if the meeting took place, what, you know, changes were adopted, if any, in that regard? The second point is, given that SASA is the umbrella body, the overarching body, as it were, the highest body, the apex, how are the members appointed? Do they have to be members of the sugarcane industry, you know, as such? Or is there some rider that says, you can't become a SASA member if you are in SAFTA or the South African Cane Growers or the Millers, etc.? Is there anything like that? So, and the reason I'm asking this, on the one hand, people could argue it's a good idea if they're actually involved in the industry, then they understand what's going on, you see. The other one could be, never, you know, it's a conflict of interest. So there are two viewpoints here. But before we examine these two viewpoints, let us clarify how membership, in fact, comes about. The second thing here, and I look at the committee resolution, the issue was if there was a lack of implementing what the instructions of the committee were to the DTI with respect to SACA, SASA, etc., then the committee would consider. Consider means we would actually deliberate on it, discuss it, etc. And at that particular juncture, the legality, etc., would come in, as I understand it. But with the special meeting occurring on the 12th of December, right into the festive season, and I'd be the first to say, well, in any case, the meeting only started late, our engagement, so that is beyond your control. But some organizations have clauses in their constitution which says, if you call a meeting on this date and it does not correlate, having given the correct time, etc., you then can call a meeting within 5 days, 3 days, and whether it correlates or not, you go ahead. Now, that's the question I would like to find out from the SASA chairman on the matter. Exactly, but not now first, you know, we always give the DG first opportunity here. The other issue is with respect to what the committee is saying as a whole, that the whole point is about transformation in the entire country. That's a principle and reality. And certainly, DG, you could tell us, in your opinion and your engagement, are we on that road? And then we will put a question to the SASA for their viewpoint and the cane growers. Where is the business plan for this transformation? All right, but let us allow the DG to come in first. DG October.
Thanks, Honourable Chair and Honourable Members, for those inputs and questions. Then to answer the first question, which if somebody comes from you, Chair, in terms of the way the legal situation works, is that the Sugar Act is the act that recognizes the Sugar Association, SASA, as the body which must regulate the industry. So SASA's powers and status derives from the Act itself. So it is a creature of statute. And as I said, it has that. Then we have what is called the Sugar Industry Agreement. And that is a regulation which has been attached to the Act. And in that industry agreement, they deal with the constitution of SASA, and in that constitution they recognize two constituent parts of SASA. The one is the Millers, South African Millers Association, and they recognize the cane growers, SACA, as the two bodies. The one represents the interests of the millers and the other one represents the interests of the cane growers. So it is in terms of a regulation, which is, as we know, subordinate legislation, which the minister has the power to amend. that then recognizes the constitution of SAFSA. I think Honorable Alberts will be familiar with this act because, as you know, we did interact on the issue he discussed and so on, so he's quite familiar. So that is the legal status. So then to answer members' question about the levies, the way I understood the committee's resolution is that in the event that there is non-cooperation of cane growers, we must suspend the levies. We've looked at the legal position and we've taken legal advice from members on that matter. In order to give effect to that, we will have to amend either the regulation, the industry agreement, or we have to amend the Act itself. Those are the two options available to us. Because remember, the levies derives from the membership. Because SACA is a member of SASA, it is entitled to levies, and I think Mr. Honourable Easterson, it's not the question of the price for the sugar they give. You get that. They negotiate the price for the cane they deliver. This is an additional cost that is given to the association to run its affairs, to pay its staff, to pay its executives, to run its affairs. So it's almost like a closed shop. In a trade union, it would be similar to a closed shop, where automatically they take R3.50 from every member and they give it to the union. So similarly here, they just take that amount, they just tell the millers, pay so much, and the millers must pay the association. So it doesn't go to the actual farmers itself. So those are the two options. Honourable members, we have taken legal advice on this matter. There is a legal way. What you'll have to do is you'll have to suspend the membership of SACA in order to suspend the levies. But as I said, that issue will only arise if there's non-cooperation and so on. That is only if they do not recognize the interests of others that we must then, obviously, their membership must come into question because then they are not acting in good faith. If you want monopoly status and you refuse to recognize new entrants into the market, then we will review that. So we have taken legal advice and then we will have to make those amendments in terms of the regulation and so on. If we get challenged on the regulation, then as I said, then what we will have to do is we'll have to ask you to amend the Act, and then we'll have to suspend the entire SASA and say come back when you are a transformed organization. So that is the real last resort, that we'll have to suspend SASA, and we'll have to say, please come back when you are a transformed body, and so on. But as I said, those are all last resorts. As I said, Honourable Member, I know one of the members asked about the mediation and so on. Again, as I said, we must, I think, always look on the side of our better angels. Charles Newpen mediated. He did actually manage a very complex process, and he managed to get an agreement of all the parties. So that is why we're getting him back again, because A, he's familiar with the issues, is acceptable to all the parties, so we didn't want to start a new process again, because then you're going to have to, as you know, with mediation, you have to ask every party has to agree, and so on. But as I said, the reason for non-implementation is entirely the fault of cane growers. They signed the agreement. When they went back to their members, they then said, we no longer want to follow this negotiated agreement. So that is why, Honourable Chair, we were explicit with the committee the last time. It's not that we're being harsh with them. We spent many hours, two attempts at mediation, and we reached a settlement, and they reneged on that. So it is in that context that the agreement didn't work. It was nothing to do with the skills of the mediator. It was just the recalcitrance of the cane growers. So we are saying now, given the new developments, we hope that there's a change of attitude and mind in terms of the cane growers to accept a mediated solution. So they have agreed. So let's accept their good faith to participation in the mediation process. And as I said, our preference is that they settle the matter over the next 3 days. But in any event, there is the meeting on the 12th, Honourable Chair. In terms of the SASA Constitution, they have to give 21 days notice.
Oh, right.
So that is why when we met on the 16th, we said, let's please, as soon as possible, give notice of the 21 days so that you have a legally constituted general meeting on the 12th of December. So on the 12th of December, they will vote on that resolution to allow representation of SAPTA. So hopefully then that will conclude the matter and we will have, as I said, an interim solution of recognizing both parties on a 50-50 basis. We would, as I said, we don't want this to be a permanent situation of having two bodies representing one industry. One industry, one association. So we brought in the services of the mediator to say, irrespective, even if you don't reach agreement on the next 3 days, try again. And let's keep talking and hopefully you will resolve the issue of getting to one industry, one association one day. If not, also, and then similarly the relation to the G7, they can also at some point, G6, G7, okay, sorry, I'm G14, apologies, Chair.
Trump won't help
you there. It's Trump, the Trump. So, as I said, so then we will then hopefully we will, even if they do on the 12th resolve to allow SAFTA in, that will be a good starting point then, but we still hope then that they will then, should they even then continue the mediation process to form one association, if not to form one confederation then. There are many, many multiple ways in which you can solve this problem. But we would really want everybody to be one. And as Honorable Mantash said, we want just a transformed association and a transformed industry representing all role players and so on. So, Honorable Chair, as I said, we're not left yet on your question on Honorable Williams and the others about the levy. The matter is, it only arises if there's non-cooperation. Hopefully we will be called on it. But as I said, we will, as the department and at your support, we will obviously have to recommend to the minister to amend the regulation immediately if we do get non-cooperation. Then we will have to suspend the membership of SACA. And then we will then, they will be in a worse position. They won't have 50%, they'll have zero representation, and we allow them back once they're prepared to accept transformation and so on. That will be, but as I said, hopefully that option doesn't arise and it's not our preferred option.
No, thank you, DG. I saw yourself, Honourable Munskalbeck, I don't know if it was just a clarification on what the DG had said. You remember you had your hand up there. Because I do want to go to the others in terms of the other entities. Honourable Munskalbeck, Honourable and my mind escapes me every now and again. Buyani, yes.
No, it's not actually a second round at this point. We are coming back to the second round, specifically just on a clarification as to what has been said. All right. And then we're going to get the balance of the questions responded to. We haven't finished this round. Honourable Van Schalkwijk.
Thank you, Chairperson. Welcome the clarification given by the DG. So I would like to know, they've been through this whole process of mediation and what we've seen the agreement. But what I didn't pick up is something like a clause that's saying some kind of consequence if you are not abiding by the agreement or the stipulations of the agreement. I'm not sure if it's built in. So maybe that can be a helping factor in trying to enforce the agreement. But to me, Chairperson, I might be skeptical, but to me it looks as if it's just a delaying tactic to just push this thing going longer and longer and frustrating the other group. But also my concern is people are not those who's getting the money, but on the other side, people are suffering. And whilst others are receiving a lot of money through board meetings which they attend, even though they are not being recognized as a registered group, but some of the members are already included there and they're receiving those money, and other people need to go hungry during Christmas time, and that's my biggest concern. So the other concern that I'm having is when we go to the 12th of December and there's no cooperation, is there no solution then? Because you can't come back to the committee at this stage. We'll most probably will be conversing only in February at the earliest stage. But we need to make a resolution in terms of what if there's no settlement reached by the 12th of December. There must be some kind of resolution taken on what can be immediately done in terms of within the time frame between the 12th of December and the end of the December, because we can't allow the situation to be like that. Thank you, Chairperson.
Thank you. Honorable Buyani.
Chairperson, thank you. I just want some clarity on a few matters that presented by DG. Firstly, welcoming the report, and also wanted to check, man, in terms of the mediation process and the status quo and the status of the BGM or the meeting that will be held on the 12th. So, wanted to check, man, the status of that meeting.
Yeah.
Because my understanding is that we are restructuring. So, if we are restructuring in terms of the delegates and the membership that will attend, how many structures and who are those structures? All of those structures are part of that meeting. Those restructuring talks about representation in terms of the constitution. So I wanted to check that as to is it covered or properly covered. And also check your process, SDTR, your process of verifying BE status. It takes a month or just to punch the name of the organization and check as to whether who represents those matters in terms of color, gender, and creed. That is what I wanted to check. But if you postpone the triple BEE, it's a challenge. Because you just punch the name of the organization, then it will reflect on the system that how many people represent this and that. Mm-hmm. So it cannot take a month check to verify that the BEE state. Also, I want to check, man, why are we now suspending the committee resolution? Because the resolution of the committee says we must immediately stop the levies. Then we engage. Those levies are withheld and we're engaging. Then after engaging, we reach an agreement. Then we kickstart with the levies. So I'm not so sure, because seemingly we are dick and darling. We have resolved as a committee to say, you stop the levy.
Now, can I just address that issue, Honorable Buyani? We said that the committee would consider, I said this at the beginning, if this has not been implemented, the committee would consider, you would have to deliberate. It is not the DG who would just suddenly do something. So we have heard here today, but we're still hearing, let's remember that, that there is some, the beginnings of cooperation. That's how I heard the report back. But we are concerned about the meeting on the 12th. Because, well, this is all because we're going to meet on the 12th. Now what's going to happen? So what I would like, DG, is you're going to respond to what there is here, obviously, certain clarifications. But on the other hand, we actually have other the members of the South African Sugar Association, to which questions were directed. Mr. Suresh Naidu, Chair, Mr. Hans Heckman, Vice Chair, Mr. Trix Tickham, Executive Director, Ms. Portia Impofu, SASE External Affairs Director, and Mr. Cedric Boyisa, Communications and Media. All right? There were certain questions addressed. So the DG will start off and then you will follow.
Chairperson, can I conclude? As I conclude, Chairperson, I want just to remind the committee that the Sugar Act that we are talking about is the 1978 one. There's no transformation agenda on this act. Mm.
Thank you, Chair.
That's an important point. Thank you. Honourable Mantash.
Chair, you know what is haunting me here is SAACA is not recognizing SAFTA, yet they extract levies from them. And for me, that's a sore point. Because they're holding them at ransom, painfully so. Can this be considered, sir?
No, I think that'll go directly to yourself, DG, and you can add to that, Sasa.
Honourable Chair, what I would then suggest in terms of dealing with the issue, maybe if we, lots of the matter will be dealt with, if we can ask Suresh or Trix to maybe just explain then the meeting, how the meeting will be constituted on the 12th, mm-hmm. and then who makes up the membership, what okay. is the issues there, and ask them to maybe give the position, and then, as I said, then after that we can maybe... we can make take your suggestions in terms of a way forward.
Honourable Chair and Honourable Members of the Parliamentary Portfolio Committee, thank you for the opportunity, thank you for the invitation and the opportunity to present. I think the first question up was from the Honourable Chair with regards to the quorum for the special general meeting, and in terms of the constitution, 21 days notice is required for a special general meeting. If no quorum is present, if it's not quorate on the day, it'll stand adjourned for a week. If such day falls on a public holiday, it will be the next day, and the members present at such meeting will form the quorum, and decisions can be taken.
Thank you.
So I think that yeah. clarifies that one. In terms of the report back, okay, it'll be the general meeting of delegates, and the delegates are appointed by the members who are currently South African Cane Growers Association and South African Sugar Millers Association. Each appoint 18 delegates to SASA, and they will be present at the special general meeting.
The other point was about the on what basis, what's the criteria? Do you move from the position of it should be people within the industry because of their knowledge, they are eligible? Or do you move from the other way? No, that would be a conflict of interest. You know, what is the criteria?
It's members of the industry. South African Sugar Millers appoint their delegates, and the South African Cane Growers Association appoint their delegates, and it, in a normal fashion, it's at the annual general meeting of the delegates that the councillors are appointed to the Council of the South African Sugar Association. So they are industry members.
Yes, thank you for clarifying that. But the fact remains, the last point that was raised here with respect to the levies, where members are not members, but in fact levies continue to be extracted, if I may put it that way, from them. How does that work?
In terms of clause 162 of the sugar industry agreement in its current form, it imposes an obligation on SASA to pay the levy over to cane growers in its current form. Mm-hmm. And I think that's the matter that's under consideration by the DG's legal department, right?
The response just from Sasa here, there are others who can come in. Please, if you believe that Sasa has more to respond to, please indicate Honourable William, Honourable Guyani, Honourable Eerstehazen, Honourable Zangwini, Honourable McPherson.
Thank you, Chair. Chair, I think that we're getting the runaround here. Fundamentally, what's happening is we must be very firm in our position. We can't just sit here and say, well, we'll wait for you to have a discussion, and if it doesn't work, you'll reconvene in 7 days, but it's 2 days before Christmas, so you won't be reconvening, and then it'll be next year, but when, blah, 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 and it's going to go on and on. I'd like to propose that we stop these levies if the meeting on the 12th doesn't happen, that we initiate, the minister must change these regulations, that the levies must be stopped if the meeting on the 12th doesn't happen. And they must tell their members that. And also, if there's no conclusion, because I'm a bit concerned when the DTI says they'll only act if there's no cooperation. But how do you define no cooperation? They can have a meeting and say, well, we had to postpone it because it was so close to Christmas. We're working on things, and then it comes, and it comes. You know, they can continue just dragging this process out as if they are cooperating, but in actual fact, they're not cooperating. And I think a lot of members of this committee, in particular the ANC, are not happy with the situation at the moment. And we think that people who are working in this industry should work together. But if that's not going to happen, we must act. We mustn't just be, you know, continue with this story, oh, no, we'll wait for the DTI. No, the DTI must act as well. The minister must act on this, and if that meeting doesn't sit on the 12th, they must stop those levies immediately. Thank you.
Thank you, Honourable Williams. We then have the Honourable Buyani.
Chairperson, thank you. I'm not so sure, but I wanted to check, as I checked earlier, on the status of that meeting. Then I'm told 18 representatives of the same very structures that are not inclusive. So I'm checking as a committee, why are we waiting for a general meeting that is not assisting us? Because the people that they are going to meet are the same people that are representing the very same structure. The other one is not part of the meeting, so why are we waiting a meeting? Can we, as DTI or as members, continue with our processes while we are meeting? Whatever they are taking the decision or whatsoever, because it's not going to assist the transformation. Because they are just meeting their BGM, end of the year BGM, they'll be giving each other packages there while some people are suffering. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Honourable Buyani. Honourable Yesterhausen.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I think as I said on the offset, I say that TESTA must have a voice and it must be recognized. And if this cannot be happened, be accomplished, then the DTI must step in. But negotiations is there. I think it's extreme to all the members of SAFTA because of the levies to, you know, it works in different ways as well. Section 29 of the Constitution under the property rights, the things can have negative effects. You can't tell a farmer what he must grow on his farm. It's his own choice. There can be retaliation, there can be everything. But remember I said to the Cersei that SADF must have a voice. That's my opinion. But we must also not go to the extremes and things. There's some legal rights and laws that was also built into the membership of these members. Mm-hmm. So let's have this meeting on the 12th, and then let it stand over. We get the feedback to early January. We're going to the festival season now, and the committee make a decision on that. And oversight, what I said in court.
No, Honourable Yesterhausen, thank you. You've put those issues on the table. There are a few others I recognised here. It was the Honourable Sanguini, sorry.
Thanks, Chair. I think my colleagues have raised some of the issues pertaining to the delegation to the meeting. Oh, the PGM. Legally, we obviously can't change that at this stage, because it's, yeah. So I just like to check from SAFA as well. What I'm totally interested in, we see amendments, and I'm sorry, maybe it's in the pack and stuff like that. what are they going to amend in the constitution? Because it would have been, it would have been interesting for us to see, as well as the committee, which exact clauses are you going to amend it and how you're going to amend those clauses, so that we are also appraised as to say, look, what is going to happen on the 12th at least is what gives us a sense of comfort that at least they're going to recognize SAFDA and so forth. So I'd like to see, like, in the Constitution, what are you going to exactly amend? Because we hear about amendments, but we were not appraised as a committee with the exact amendments of that meeting. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Honourable Sanguini. I had after Honourable Sanguini, Honourable McPherson, and then Honourable Teoko.
Thank you very much. Just a couple of questions for SASA. I think at the outset it'd be nice to know, you know, if SASA is either in favour or opposed to having another sugar representative, or at least cane sugar representative body. I think that they must make that intention clear, where SASA stands on this issue. So I would like them to answer very exactly on that point. And then, as I understand, sort of when millers and cane growers meet in SASA, that all those decisions are sort of mostly taken, if not all, on a consensus basis. So if you could just either confirm or correct that statement. And then the chair of the Sugar Association, I would just like to know if he is represented on any other associations, either in the Millers Association or the Cane Growers Association, or has any affiliation to them. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much, Honourable McPherson. Honourable Piatto was next, Honourable Yester-Hazen.
Thanks, Chef. I think there was a question raised by yourself and Mandaj about the conflict of interest. I wonder if they have touched on it, on the conflict of interest of the parties that are involved in the resolving the matter. Again, I want to check if also all parties are happy with the processes that the DGI is putting in place. And I think the last one, I want to see, if there is a mediation, I know mediation processes will take long, and they will issue a mediation certificate. So, as the members are worried about maybe the outcome of the meeting, either will be positive or negative. So I will second the notion of saying early January we must convene and we'll finalize the matter as soon as possible. Thanks.
Thank you, Honourable Pieper. Honourable Yester-Hazen.
Chair, thank you. Apart from what we're doing now, we must also remember that the object of this committee must be also to protect the consumers. The sugar in this country, I think, I'm not mistaken, is already more expensive than anywhere else in the world. That must also be an objective, to protect the consumers in this country with the sugar product.
Yes, well, I don't want to open that entirely. I hear some people are sitting on other committees where other aspects of sugar are being discussed. We're not discussing these others, but I do hear your point about the consumer on what is the reason, and it's a valid one. Yes, the point I had made on Vutiaka, and I think we need, it was responded to in the sense that Sinaidu said that, in fact, in order to be on the executive, you have to have been a member, and it's members of this association. The challenge is, though, given that SAFTA is not recognized, as I see it now, they can't become, you know, part of the executive. So what you've got is an entity outside of this association, not recognized, and two other entities within this SAFTA, and they are making rules for themselves. And I think that that is what the committee is pointing out, Mr. Naidu. It's a situation that can't continue, and I was under the impression that obliquely you were indicating that this was recognized, that one understood this. But that is why the meeting would be occurring. Isn't that right? Now, we've had some very specific questions. What clauses? I think Honourable Flanguini was saying, look, tell us what it is that's going to be on the table for amendment. What is it? So that we can see, is that all we're going to amend? Is this going to help? We don't know. The second thing, and I think that is why the committee is, is at the moment there's the element of trust is rather thin in the room. And that is because once before these negotiations occurred and a decision was taken, yes, we're going to implement. Yes, we will. Only to find no. So there is that concern, do you see? Now you need to try and persuade this committee that this concern is without foundation or will not apply the second time round. We're not there yet. And we would then, I'm sure, like to come to the cane growers. I do want to recognize, is it Mr. Rex Talmarsh, Vice Chairman? Is that right?
Good morning, Honourable Chair.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
And good morning,
right.
Honourable Members.
And then we've got Mrs. Dupua Intuli, Board Director and Small Cane Grower. All right. Just to let you know, they are also in the room. But will you please try and answer these questions succinctly? Just clear that we understand now.
Thank you, Honourable Chair. I'll try and go through them in the order that they were asked. In terms of if the legislation is changed, FESA will have to act accordingly. Simple as that. If the legislation is changed, we will have to act accordingly. We're currently acting under the current legislation. In terms of trying to delay the process, I can assure you FESA is not delaying the process at all. If you recall, we met on the 10th of November, which was a Friday. The following, on the 15th, which was a Wednesday, we were in DG October's office to get clarity on what does DGI expect FESA to do. And I think DG October has dealt with what was asked of us, and we have complied on every one of the requests that were made of DG October at that meeting within the time frames. I, as chairman, for one, learned a lesson that I'm not as powerful as I thought I was. I can't call a special general meeting on my own. The request has to come from a meeting of council or from one of the members of the sections. If we tried to hold a meeting of council, that would have unduly delayed the process. There was already a proposal put up by South African Sugar Millers, and we said, told the millers, you got a proposal, can you call for the meeting? Millers called for that meeting. Immediately on receipt of that request to call that meeting, I then called for the special general meeting, which pushed out to the 12th. It should have happened earlier, but I had to wait for that proposal to come from Millers. With regards to concerns from Honourable Member Buyani, there's a parallel process here. The general meeting will happen on the 12th, and I can't predict the outcome. We certainly hope and pray for favorable outcomes. But there's also a facilitation process ahead of the general meeting, which could yield a different result to what is being put forward to the general meeting if there is buy-in from all the parties. And I must stress, if there is buy-in from all the parties.
You mean consensus?
Consensus, yes. With regards to the concern, I think this is a nub of the issue that the chair, Honourable Chair, was getting to, the concerns raised by Honourable Shlangweni. The clauses specifically, from my recollection, that will be dealt with at the special general meeting, amongst others, but in the main, will be dealing with membership of SASA, because currently membership is just SA Cane Growers and South African Sugar Millers.
Yes.
So that will be under consideration. It will also be discussing the recognition of SAFTA, and it will be also discussing the issue of levies. So I think it captures in the main the concerns of this Parliamentary Portfolio Committee. Honourable McPherson raised the issue of, is SASA in favour or not of multiple members? SASA is neutral in this process. We are guided by the members. It will be totally up to the delegates, and we think we will get the answer on the task. And if it will be either by consensus or by vote, and the way the voting process goes, if I can read out, my memory is not as good, I can't remember all the clauses here. At general and special meetings of the association, each delegate shall be entitled to one vote. All questions arising at such meetings shall be determined by a majority representing two-thirds of the votes of the delegates present at the meeting, provided that such majority includes votes from both sections. With regards to the question from Honourable Teho, in terms of conflict of interest, I am a member of the Board of Directors of South African Cane Growers. I am currently chairman of the South African Sugar Association, but I have no vote. Neither does my chairman, vice chairman, who is from SASMA. Neither does he have a vote either at council or at the meeting of delegates. And I think the Honourable Esterhazen raised a matter of the interest of consumers, and I think that's a subject matter, and I think the Chair alluded to it as well, for another debate. And I think it's an important question from both sides, from the consumer side and the industry side, but it's a subject matter for another debate.
I do have several hands at the back, which I need to recognize. But I think just before I recognize the hands right at the back there, I want to check with the Vice Chairman of the South African Cane Growers Association. You are representing the entire South African Cane Growers Association and are mandated to speak for them, are you?
Good morning, Your Honourable Chairperson. That's correct, yes.
Now that's fine, in case a question is directed, as it may well be. All right. Honourable McPherson.
Thank you. Here's my problem. I think it's important for SASA to have a position on this matter. I mean, your entire body is facing some very serious challenges, very serious accusations, and very serious threats from these members that are here with me and the department. And I don't think it's acceptable that you can say you're neutral in this. You have to show leadership, actually. You are the body that is mandated to show leadership. And to sit there and say, we are neutral, I find that unacceptable, to be honest. But I also don't know how you can be neutral when you, in fact, sit on the Cane Growers Board as well. You may not have a vote, but you certainly have persuasion. And there is the inherent conflict of interest. And so it makes sense to me why there is a logjam in all of this. And I think that your body needs to ask very serious questions of itself about its conduct in this whole process. Because at the end of the day, consensus is a lovely tool when everyone is moving in the same direction. But when change comes along, consensus is also a fantastic tool to frustrate and slow down that change. And so I'm concerned about the picture that you've created here today. I'm concerned about your apparent neutrality or unwillingness to take a position. But in fact, you can't help that you do have a vested interest in how this thing plays out. And as I said, you may not have the vote, but you have persuasion. And so I think that a deeper fundamental look at what the potential for change is actually needs to be looked at, because I am skeptical about how that change may come if you are unwilling to show the leadership that your body should be showing. So I think that's my position, and those are my comments, and you're welcome to respond to them or not.
Thank you, Honourable McPherson, Honourable Williams, Honourable Van Skalkwyk.
Thank you, Chair. In around 1772, there was a slogan in America that said, "No taxation without representation." Now, fundamentally, organizations are being taxed, but they aren't represented, and we should not allow that to continue. I'd also like to know why SAFTA themselves are not talking to us today. They seem to be not allowed to talk at any meetings around the sugar industry, and then the portfolio committee has a meeting. They're not allowed to talk either, so I'm a bit concerned about that. But I think that it is clear that SASA only acts on the legislation. They've said that to us. They've said that to us again. They said that at the last meeting they told us this. And I think that we should instruct the DTI to look into the legislation and report back amendments that will transform this industry to this committee within 1 month. Thank you, Chairperson.
Thank you very much. Just a minute. Thank you very much, Honourable Williams. We then move to Honourable Van Skalkwyk.
Thank you, Chairperson. I would like to second the proposal made by Honourable Williams. And adding to that, Chairperson, I might be out of order, Chairperson, but I really feel the need is there for urgent movement. This thing of this consultation and what, 3 days and 21 days and then we go 7 days and what, is just a dragging and delaying tactic. To me, if I could have had my way and make a proposal, I would have said, I don't know the legal implications of that, DG, but I would have said that seeing that SAFDA is already raised their complaint since 2015, and they've really dealt with the matters, and they tried by all means, and the department tried by all means, and this is just not... things are not going in good faith. I wanted to see if legal prescripts are allowing that SAFDA is getting some money in their pockets before the 31st of December 2017. Come hell or high water, something needs to be done to implement that thing or make it possible. By the simple means of other people using their money that they are contributing to, and they don't care. They've showed that they don't care, they have an attitude, and I don't think the meeting of the 12th of December is going to give any results, because already SASA is telling us that they are acting only on legislation, and there's no legislation. So if pre-legal prescripts also allows it, I need the department to make some recommendations to us in terms of how it's possible, even if the minister can pass a regulation or something that we can see results before the end of the year. And really, this legislation needs to be fast-tracked, and if there's some kind of middle way that we can find before the actual amendment of the Act or before bringing new legislation before the end of December, there must be some way that we can short-circuit this thing. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you very much, Honourable Van Schalkwyk. Now, you know, we don't want this to go round in circles. There's some very specific issues on the table here. One of them is expressed very clearly by the Honourable Williams and also to some extent by the Honourable MacPherson and all of the other parties sitting here, is that this is not good enough, this issue of neutrality. It simply isn't. And the question is, what is your role there? Is there no role of good governance, you know, and this sort of thing, where you are expected to take leadership? You're there. Why are you there? Why are you there? Why don't they have a robot there? And you tell the robot to program you out. You've got no need to have votes. You just do 1, 2, 3, 4, and wait for the response. Well, why have a person? Why have a person? They've got you, not because you are neutral per se, but because you offer guidance. Just as I am chair here, I have to try and offer some kind of guidance, leadership. This is our objective. We may not all agree on the detail or the road. Now, you're not doing that as SASA, and that is what the committee... It's not just a question of being frustrated. It is a question of beyond concern. Members here in their exercise of oversight are saying you're not fulfilling the function effectively that you are in, this role that you are in. And if that is going to be the case, you're going to have an engine not on a track, not knowing where it's going and taking the rest of the coaches with it. So we can't accept that. We'll need, there's some proposals here on the table and some people have proposed things and there's been a certain seconding. Well, what do we do if nothing happens on the 12th? It is the 12th, isn't it, of December? Is there something more that can be done? You're already saying, no, but we can then... have this other meeting a week later or whatever it is, even if it doesn't correlate, we'll make a decision. The problem is you'll still have the same members there. So what is going to make that different? I cannot see a different decision being taken in terms of your constitution, do you see? Because there are only two groups there. And those two groups have vested interests. That's part of the problem. So the consideration I'm hearing emerging in the committee is that there is a need for us to put forward an additional resolution. That's what I'm beginning to hear from all members. There's also a concern, why isn't SAFTA being allowed to speak? It isn't a question of that. SAFTA's had more time than anyone. But what was affecting the decision here was to ensure that SASA and SACTA did begin to implement this, which directly involves the South African Farmers Development Association, I think it is. So we need to honour that first part of the meeting. It doesn't mean to say that someone shouldn't be allowed to speak if they have not been invited, as we know, because this is the voice of the people. But let us first hear from SACTA. Are you there then? You've heard what has been said here, and just let me finish the sentence and I will take that, Honourable Montash. And then we would like to know just exactly how much are you on board with this. Are you on board 10% of the way, which means not at all, or are you quite serious about transformation? Are you actually? So just allow Honourable Montash to come in.
Chair, this neutrality of SASA is a worrying fact. But Chair, I want the committee to discuss and engage on what are we going to do to address the grievance of SAFTA. Because SASSA comes to the committee and says, our levies are taken by SASSA in which we don't benefit. Can this committee not convince SASSA to give back those levies retrospective? Because they've been locked out, they are not recognized, but their levies are taken. So we are creating a community, a very poor community, who has land, but that land does not benefit them, and instead monies are taken from them. We are killing that industry from the front of the black ones whom government has bought land for. So we are being frustrated, South African government, by a body of the sugar industry. How do we address the grievance of those people?
Thank you, Honourable Montash. Honourable McPherson, please, very briefly now.
Sure. You know, I think the issue of transformation is important, but I actually think that there's an issue of representation. And, you know, if you're paying a levy, you should be able to have some say on that. And so transformation for me is important, but representation is more important. You should have your voice heard if you are paying that levy. And that, for me, is, I think, what SASSA's founding principle they should be standing on when it comes to this. That if they are paying you a levy, you should want to hear from them. But you can't hear from them because they're not represented. And that's why you can't be neutral in this. Because you are the custodian of that levy. And that's why SASSA must take a stand. And I encourage you to do so sooner rather than later. Because, you know, just now there's going to be a, you know, competition body that's going to come and challenge SASSA. And then you're going to wonder why that happened, because SASSA wasn't responsive to what the industry was saying at the time. So I think you remain neutral at your own peril, and I think that you show leadership to your advantage.
Thank you, Honourable McPherson. Yes, I'm wanting very brief responses given the time.
Chair, thank you. I was going to say that transformation is essential for growth in this country, for every industry, sugar industry, every... and we as this committee, I think it's an ominous decision that SASSA must have a voice and must have recognition, and the decision must be taken from the, I think to say 1 month from now, on the 29th of December, is not a commit, but we need a decision on that.
I ask you, DG, just one thing before SASSA comes in and SASSA. I mean, I know that you're not an advocate and a lawyer, but you clearly know the Act better than we do as members. But constitutionally, and I'm talking about the South African Constitution, not SASSA, how is it possible to take money, to take levies from someone, and then ignore them? Is this in fact constitutional? Arguably it isn't, you see. So I'm not sure just how that act went through, but of course it was 1978 before we had the Constitution, yes. So that is how it got through before we brought in a new democracy and a new government, etc. So I'm now getting a response here. First from yourself, SASSA, okay, and then from SASSA.
Honourable Chairperson, thank you. Honourable Members, greetings again. Honourable Chair, your question just now was, what is Cane Grove's position regarding transformation? And Chair, I can categorically say that Cane Grove is committed, fully committed to transformation. Chair, can I further add, as in context to that, that the Honourable Portfolio Committee has developed a position and developed a perspective which Cane Grove believes we haven't had fair opportunity to present a full picture, to contextualise it, to adequately inform the Portfolio Committee to arrive at extreme decisions or measures they're prepared to take. And I would like the opportunity, if possible, Madam Chair, to just give a couple of documents out and talk to it if possible. I see the IT is down and there's no opportunity for projectors, which I had brought along to, I put quite a lot of effort in. But if I could just take a couple of minutes to illustrate a point, I think it's important. And you did say just now, if there's opportunity to persuade the committee in any way, then one should do so. And I think it's important that I do try and do that, Chair.
I hear what you are saying, and indeed, as part of our operations and the principles which govern Parliament, we observe fairness and obviously try to conduct this fairly. Having said that, you know, one is constantly reminded that this is an act done well before the current constitution, as I have just reiterated. But I just want to talk to members for a minute about the time, etc. So we're not saying no, yes, etc. Right now, members, as you may know from your officers and your secretaries, we can continue until 11. There is, however, in the old Assembly Chamber, I'm sure many of you know about this, a high-level panel on the assessment of key legislation. But the challenge we are facing, members, is this is the last meeting of this year. And it would be irresponsible of us to leave the meeting in this manner. Would you agree? Right. Given that that is the case, and to ensure that the committee itself is on sound ground, we will give you this opportunity. But first, I want the rest of the responses here. I think there were some directed at yourself, Sasa, all right, and the DG.
Honourable Chair, yeah, I'll try and be succinct. Honourable McPherson, the issue of neutrality and leadership, it's indeed a difficult one. But having said that, with this, just by way of example, with this issue of facilitation, I think it took great leadership by SASA Vice Chairman and myself to bring the sections together to engage in a facilitation process. This is just but one. As SASA Chairman, if I appear not to be neutral and show preference to one party, I would be slated by the other. So that's why I've got to be neutral in the context of the guidance of a meeting. But to show leadership, that's a different issue, and that I think comes through the persuasive powers of the position you hold in trying to persuade the constituents to move to a desired outcome. And that's what we try to do.
What's the desired outcome?
I think we all subscribe to transformation. I think we're all amenable to multiple representation. But how do we bring it about? And I think that's what the facilitation process is going to be about. And SASA is part of that process.
But we remained on the resolution of the previous mediation.
I'm conscious that it becomes important, regardless of the circumstances of members, that including myself, that we ensure that our minds are totally focused on what we're hearing. You go ahead.
My ED just whispered in my ear. What's the previous facilitation process that was between SAFTA and Kangaroos, not SASA? Okay, so that's important. The Honourable Van Kalkweg raised the issue of us being bound by prescript in terms of the number of days notice and things like that. And I think that's there for a reason. And unfortunately, we are at that time of the year. But we commit, we have to abide by that, because we run the risk, if in not following this process, and we do have a meeting, and we do reach a favorable outcome, someone, anyone, could then call foul. You're in breach of this, or you're in breach of that, you're in breach of your rules, hence your decision is not binding. So as chairman of SASA, I don't want to run that risk. So let me, but I'll still give you the reassurance that we're not trying to kick the can down the road, so to speak. We try to do whatever we did in the shortest possible time. I don't know if I've dealt with all the issues.
No, thank you very much. I'm just checking, because of the system not being up and running, I'm sure you appreciate we've got a slight hitch, but I understand from the secretaries up here that there were 10 copies, is that right? So everyone has a copy. We will allow you to speak to this for the cane growers as the vice chairman, Mr. Carl Marsh.
Thank you, Honourable Chair. Honourable Chair, fortunately I did bring 10 printed copies for the Honourable Members to look at and assess, and I could talk you through it and explain it in context.
What sort of point is this?
Yeah. I was wondering if this document was given as well to SAFTA representatives that are here.
We've only got 10 pages. All right. And that's purely because we have this technicality. I am sorry that members who do want to look at it don't have it. I mean, the DG hasn't got it. Have you? All right.
Thank you, Honourable Chair. Honourable Chair, for the Honourable Members to look at, and for everybody else that can get a look at this, I'm sorry I can't put it up for everyone to see. It basically illustrates in graphic illustration the sections of the sugar industry, where you've got the millers and you've got the growers sections. Up till now, the discussion, the narrative has been between an exclusive arrangement that cane growers has, control, etc. The way it was structured and the way it operates, those two sections, millers and growers, are there for the balance of power, so one can't dominate the other. And Chair, the illustration is including SAFTA, which one can see at the bottom of the page, and it illustrates under the branch of SA Cane Growers, the 27 member organizations. It's those member organizations that flow into and belong to SA Cane Growers. It's not individual growers. And each and every one of those grower associations is its own entity representing its growers, bringing forward its particular issues. And the complexity, when we refer back to the mediation process, the facilitation process with Charles Newpin, it's not on some wishy-washy basis that agreement wasn't found. An agreement wasn't reneged on by the Board of Cane Growers. Decisions are taken by the Congress of Growers, which, and the Congress of Growers is transformed, where the majority, and I can specifically speak for in the case of 2015, of the Congress of Growers that makes decisions and elects the board and would make a decision on a matter like that agreement from November 2016, was constituted predominantly of black growers, and they make the decisions. It's important to explain that in context. So, Chair, Honourable Chair and Honourable Members, in this illustration, the complexity comes down to not the fact of trying to veto or block access or recognition of SAFTA. The question is, how does one practically provide opportunity for each and every one, or those that wish to or those that don't, opportunity to sit and act alongside SA Cane Growers? If one looks at the sheer number there, it would bring an absolutely inoperable complexity. And that is the challenge we try and digest and try and break down and try and work out solutions to. If it was a very simple matter, it would have been implemented some time back. It's inherently complex, but as far as working towards a solution, we are fundamentally and totally committed to. It's in how one doesn't disturb the balance of power between the cane growers and the sugar milling companies in the industry. That is what we are trying to work towards, and that's what we'll hopefully try and incorporate in the solution that we find. But the honourable members need to understand it's not a simple exercise. And the other question that comes to mind is of the 27 grower associations that flow into SA Cane Growers that democratically elects its Congress and its board, on what basis does one suddenly elevate SAFTA or another, and how many can be catered for to then sit alongside that SA Cane Growers structure? That is the inherent complexity.
Right, that was certainly short enough. So, now, not that I'm saying it cast any light on the issue here, but nevertheless, you didn't take up too much of our time. The point that immediately comes to mind is, why isn't SAFTA there? And we heard that already at a previous meeting, do you remember? And as it is not there, and yet at the same time it continues to be levied, what can be done to accommodate all growers, including SAFTA, within this? We pay our levies, how much and how do we get it out? That's the one approach. The other approach, which it would seem as if you're trying to point out, why don't they come into the association, then they'll be part of us democratically. I don't know, just from this list here, just how transformed and how effectively they comply with triple B double E. You see, I don't know that. Just looking at the names, it isn't clear. And I'm sure you're more aware of that than I am sitting here. We don't have that kind of information. And DG, you know, this is the kind of information, remember you said you would be delving into, because we need to know, for example, I'm just grabbing something off the paper here, Darnell Farmers Association, Eastern Ilovo, you know, who comprises this? How is it made up, you see? Because the one thing we cannot support in this committee is an organization that does not reflect the demographic profile. We can't. You see, that would be against one of our own pieces of legislation we've got here. So perhaps we could just ask you to tell us briefly then, in terms of, you know, that demographic representation, etc., how far does this comply, all these different growers? I don't know, and I don't think anyone sitting here knows. Could you tell us that, please, Mr. Tolmash?
Honourable Chair, Honourable Members, the structure of how it flows into the Congress of Growers is there's equal representation for small-scale growers and for commercial growers. In 2014, after a thorough process, the decision was taken to amend the MOI of cane growers to make provision for land reform growers. It is understood they didn't have recognition and they didn't have opportunity as a category of growers. That had come about from government classification, land reform grower in the industry. So it was felt important to provide recognition and opportunity, and that was in 2014. In 2015, there was an annual general meeting that took place of SA Cane Growers, and the majority of delegates at that Congress were black growers. In essence, they had the power to vote the board of their choice. So transformation, for fact, was working. and they elected a board which was comprised in 2015 of 5 black male, 1 black female, and 8 white male. And that was 8 white male. That was the decision of the Congress of Growers. That was their choice.
Well, thank you for your honesty there on those facts. But I think that simply underlines the point that is before us here. On the one hand, we've got members of the committee saying clearly, you know, no levy without representation on the one hand, and it's about that issue. Then you have another grouping, and in fact, perhaps all of the members believe if you had that representation, if indeed you did, then how is it that you got these 8 white? You know, it doesn't seem to add up in terms of what you've told us here. We don't want to go into all the machinations, etc. The third point, I think, is we are going to ask, SAFTA, I understand, was at one point a member of your organization. Is that so?
Chair, the members of SAFTA, specifically the leadership of SAFTA currently, were members of SA Cane Growers. They were also members of the Congress of Growers, and they were democratically voted and served on our board for a limited time.
Right, and what I need to do again, in fairness, this is what I keep on mentioning to members, it's very important that our hearings and our engagements are undertaken fairly. Would SAFTA come up? No, I'm just looking for a mic. Is there a mic somewhere here? Now, we're not asking for a two-hour presentation. You've already had that. What we are asking is a simple question at this point in time. You were there, part of the Cane Growers, and then what persuaded you to leave?
Thank you so much, Madam Chair. The sad thing is that this list we've got here shows the whole list of lots of farm organizations or local mill areas, wherein SAFTA has the same membership base in the local areas as well. What happened is we were handpicked to sit in the board of Cane Growers. As you can see, the majority in the Congress was deemed black, but the final product was majority white. That list was propagated months before even the board was elected. And the actual IEC of Cane Growers are just two white ladies who are the employees of Cane Growers. There's no IEC there. We sat in that board and we knew exactly, we were just hand-picked as black faces to actually just show transformation. That is exactly why we...
You're referring to some kind of electoral commission.
That's correct, Madam. That's correct, Honourable Chair. The electoral commission, who actually counts the numbers, the list was propagated months before even the Congress. When we sat in the Congress, we knew already with the directors, the black directors, who they will be. So the process of voting is just formality, just to endorse. An already propagated list. So the reality is we sat in that board and we realized there is no transformation, and our people that have actually, hope with us that we are sitting in that cane growth structure will find a development. They refused even grant money coming from government, in which we had lobbied from government to develop our people at that board, because there are 8 members. They said it's a high risk for them. You would always hear in that board that you can't use big levy payers' money to look after the small levy payers. In our presence, we were told we only contributing, the black farmers are only contributing a minority of 15%, and we can't use the big levy payers' money to support those. And we said, look, we're walking away, it's fine with our 15%, whatever it is, but we can't continue to be in an organization that is counter-transformation and counter-development of our people and using our faces. Whenever we went to government, we would be the ones picked to come and talk to government, like we are doing now. They've been prepared to bring in someone who doesn't even have a son of king, just to show representation that they've got.
Right, now what I'm going to do is, that was the reason why you then formed
your own association. Is that so?
That is correct, Honourable Chairperson.
Right. Now, can I hear from, can we hear from the DG? There is now a properly constituted other association, SAFTA, am I right? Then there's SACA, and then SASA, and the Millers, and then SASA overriding. What is it exactly that the DTI is negotiating? Given that you've got SAFTA, SACA, whatever, and the Millers.
Thanks, Chair, if I can then try to hopefully bring some explanation. As I indicated, in terms of what Cane Growers was saying, it is a complex matter, and that we needed to see how do we get proper representation of all the interests within the growers. And it is precisely because it was such a complex process that we engaged in a mediation process between the parties. And it was, that's why, as I said, one attempt was made. It didn't work out. Charles Newpin spent many days, and he came back to us and says, I'm unsuccessful. These parties don't want to talk to each other. We then spoke again, had a round of consultation. I persuaded the parties, spoke to Charles Newpin, spoke to Sasser, spoke to Millers, and says, let's make one more attempt. We then did a second round of mediation, again to deal with the complexity of the issue. This thing of transformation representation is not a simple matter. So again, as I said, and then in a sense, people found a halfway house, which was a signed agreement.
A signed agreement.
Signed by the parties. So I use the word, when I say people did not renege on that agreement, I'm speaking advisedly. So we've got a copy of this agreement. Here it is, Madam Chair. It is signed by the parties. There's two signatories to this party. It is here. It is agreement between South African Cane Growers Negotiating Team, South African Farmers Development Agency. I take it, so what we have is, as I said, a signed agreement. Then, as you said, obviously again now they're blaming the blacks now for voting against this resolution again, so on again. So I think we're just going back to a bad era, you know, where people still speak like that, they come in, they explain it and so on. But as I said, it is unacceptable that parties don't adhere to a negotiated agreement. Then I sent a letter to the cane growers and I said, please, I beg you, implement this agreement or the negotiated agreement. They refused to do that. Then I said again, and it is only then subsequent to that, then I said, the only alternative is then, let's allow both parties to be represented on a 50-50 basis. And as I said, it is still the only solution which we're still proposing, Honourable Chair. To explain the context of this levy system, and I think Honourable, all Honourable members have raised this matter very, very succinctly. What we have is we've got a carve-out from the Competition Commission. As you can see, this arrangement is a very, very special arrangement. And I want to emphasise to all the SASA and the cane growers, you are in a very, very privileged position in this country.
Yeah.
Because as Honourable McPherson says, in terms of our competition law, we don't allow this. So what we negotiated was a carve-out for this industry. And the reason we did it, because as you said, Honourable Esther said, it's a very big industry. It's a big employer. It's 14 billion and so on. So we wanted to maintain this industry. We didn't want to throw it open to the world and get the industry destroyed like we did with the clothing and textile industry and so on. So we had a carve out and they remain a regulated industry. So Honourable Chair, with regards to the membership, where it comes about, we are following what is common on the continent. As you know, of Europe, they have a situation where membership of employers' organisation is compulsory. You don't decide whether you want to join, like in South Africa or in the Anglo-Saxon tradition. You voluntarily join the employers' association. You just get your membership deducted.
on the continent and so on. So they've got a version of the closed shop for employers, which, as I said, is a good system if it works. The only problem, the way it was introduced in South Africa, is that it was only for one race group to get this. So that was the problem. So that is the historical import of this tradition. Honourable Chair, just to again emphasize, we've done everything to grow this industry. You know, for the first time now ever, as you know, with the EPA agreement that you concurred with, for the first time we are now exporting to the European Union. The first sugar left a few months ago. First time since 1960, when we were thrown out of the Commonwealth, we lost our preferences to England, to the UK then, and so we were kicked out of the EU market for almost 20, 30 years. We started again to get back into it, and it was at the request of SASA. Trix and company came to Brussels, and we put them into the EPA agreement, and we have now sugar access. So this is what we're doing. We secondly, when Treasury was delaying the implementation of some of the agreements and the increased sugar price, we got an agreement to say within 7 days we will sign off on those sugar price. When they came for an increase in the sugar price, we granted it. We got ITAC, the minister signed off immediately on an increase in the price for sugar. So we've been helping this industry, but as it said, we can't have the growth without the transformation. So we are now insisting, so Honourable Chair, to take forward your suggestion, what we're saying is, what we are amending is clause 2, so the representation before the committee, before the general meeting, will be to amend the membership clause and to allow then two bodies to represent the association, to represent the growers section. And that is the resolution. It will recognize the cane growers and it will recognize the millers. The cane growers and it will recognize SAFTA. And then, so those are the constitution, the draft clauses have been developed already with the assistance of both the lawyers and the millers have given us draft wording. That wording is there, it's very clear, it's very simple. So we want those amendments to be made by, in terms of, because we are a nation of laws and currently that is the law as it stands. So we can, what I would then say is, Honourable Chair, obviously if before coming to the final point, is that what Honourable Mantashe McPherson said to the to SASA is what we discussed with him extensively a few weeks ago, that they really need to provide the leadership, and I can say maybe he couldn't say it here, that he has to be neutral, but they have now decided to play that leadership role, as I said, albeit informally, to say that we do get a good outcome for that meeting. So again, as I said, we're going to hope for a positive outcome, but in any event, as you know, and according to your understanding from what the members are saying, on the hopefully we will then have two associations, and as I said, we will then also still want the mediation process to continue so that they can talk to each other and reach an agreement where both parties can come up with a better arrangement than a 50-50 crude arrangement. We hope that happens. As I said, if it doesn't happen, Honourable Chair, the process will be very simple then. We will then, because the constitution arises from a regulation, the sugar industry agreement, the minister can then amend that regulation or withdraw that regulation. So we will then immediately,
DG, please continue. If you need any help, if I understand,
it's a regulation, it's a sugar industry agreement, the constitution of SASA. SASA is recognized via the Act, but the constitution is called the sugar industry agreement. And the sugar industry agreement is a regulation which the minister will issue. But in any event, what I'm saying is what we've taken legal advice on, what will happen is we will have two options to do. The one is we will then, the minister will either, as I said, he'll have the option because this is a privilege revelation. We can remove the whole of Sasa. And suspend that sugar industry so that there will be no Sasa. And we will then tell Sasa, you will come back and we will reconstitute you as a body if you meet certain terms and transformation conditions and so on. So we will suspend the membership of Sasa as a whole. Alternatively, and this is the best, the route, this is the route we would propose then. If there is, if, as I said, the party and if the SACA opposes, because we know the Millers fully support this position, we know the SASA leadership supports this position of allowing SACA in. If then the cane growers itself acts in bad faith and don't allow SAFDA to be a member, we will then, as I said, we remove cane, we don't recognize cane growers. Then we only recognize SAFDA as 100% of the association. So that we remove cane growers because, as I said, they are acting against the spirit and nature of the Constitution. So as it, we will then we will have then two members.
Of that, you will remove them under what?
In terms of the membership clause of the sugar industry agreement, so we will interpret the new constitution for SASA. And therefore, once that is done, then they will receive no levies because they will not be a member. And there will be a new member constituted and so on. But as I said, that is the nuclear option that we will do, which, as I said, we should, and I know members are impatient with us. Have been 2-3 years trying to present the South African type of solution of a negotiated settlement of this matter. As I said, we have now reached the end of our patience. We've got a final point on the 12th. Again, we will then, honorable the members, we will immediately then kick in with the other option if the parties don't reach their own solution to the problem.
DG, can, so we've got the Sugar Act 1978, and then we have something called the Sugar Industry Agreement of 2000. Right. Okay. And you were, in fact, on the regulation. So the DG is putting forward, they will go ahead on the 12th of December. This is what he is proposing, that they do respect and honour that and give the process this chance, if you like, the final or penultimate opportunity. Failing that, and I hope we're understanding you correctly, colloquially speaking, you're referring to the nuclear option. Nothing to do with energy per se, but rather I think it's a description of a rigorous, some would have described it almost as a draconian approach. But that follows several, as I understand it, attempts to get this done. What the committee is saying is no longer enough is enough. We need this addressed. So the 12th goes ahead in the manner intended. And I do, and should members decide to boycott that, then you'll run ahead with the follow-up meeting, as it were. You need to do that constitutionally. If the decision of the body is there's no need for us to do that because our act says X and Y, and we believe we have acted properly in the situation according to our constitution, and we believe that in that there is transparency, if you look at the man, that is from your position. If that is the case and nothing is done to implement what we have now called for, not now, but what the DTI called for in letters, then I put it to the committee, you've heard what the DTI is saying, Honourable Williams.
Chairperson, I absolutely support the DTI's position on this, but I still think that the amendments to the legislation must take place so that there can't be loopholes later, because we don't know what's going to happen in 2 years' time. They could go back to the legislation and say, oh, we can challenge you, blah, blah, blah. So there still needs to be that, but I do think that the DTI, if nothing happens on the 12th and then 7 days later on the 19th, then they kick in their
the nuclear
option. Yes.
Thank you. Honourable Williams, Honourable Sanguini.
Thanks, Chair.
Run nuclear power on sugar.
I wanted to second partly of Honourable Williams' proposal, but I forgot this question now. And it's a very important one, actually. Can I come back, Chair, to just because I totally forgot my question now.
That happens to me, actually, right. Honourable Mantash?
Chair, I can't agree more to what Honourable Williams is saying. We cannot play games anymore. And the attitude of these organizations needs much to be desired. I also want us in the future to look into that. And let me stop there for now, Chair.
Thank you, Honourable Mantash, Honourable Planguini.
Thanks, Chair, I'm back by popular demand. Yeah, what I wanted to check, DG, I'm not feeling well, so I'm in and out, so I maybe may have missed it. The Charles Newpen intervention, so that intervention is still continuing tomorrow per se, and with the mediation of that. And then that report, when do we get the end report of the Charles Newpen mediation process? One. Two, then on the part that I was seconding to Honourable Williams was the legislation part and the amendments and so forth. How and are we going to do that? And then here on the another question that I wanted to ask, Chair, I don't know, am I a little bit out of order, but on this graph, SAFDA is mentioned as one grower organization, so which means this is all of the growers, the 28 growers of SA cane growers. So SAFDA don't have growers, is that what you mean by one grower organization? I don't, maybe clarification on that.
I think it's clear what clarification is required, Mr. Tolmash.
Honourable Member, it was captured in such a way because SAFDA registered both as an association and as an agency. So I captured it on the mind map as an organisation.
As a support organisation. So you have its own role underneath that.
So, you know what, I always have to put the rider in. We have put forward, it has been proposed, that X should be done. What is important is that X complies with the Constitution in the first place and the rules of Parliament. So, we do, you know, I don't like to call on Advocate van der Merwe before she's heard, but I just want to get this very clear as to what you are proposing now. And if Advocate van der Merwe, if you can just listen to the proposal, yes.
Chairperson, with regard to the legislation, what I'm proposing is the DTI look into the legislation and see which points from 1978 need to be changed so that they are up to date and they encapsulate our transformation agenda. And so that the legislation can't be used later to say, no, well, the legislation says we can choose whoever we want to be in our association and those darkies can't come. We can't allow that sort of thing. Thank you, Chair.
Right. Now, so that's on the legislation side and it's seconded by yourself. Right, Honourable Planguini. The other issue, though, is what is on the table right now, the speedy intervention, as it were. What are we proposing then? We heard the DTI's proposal, let the mediation continue, the meeting on the 12th, you know, it's set for the 19th, and then, if that fails, then X. Do you remember exactly what you said, DTI? Because we need to capture this then.
So let me just explain then, and the question from Honourable Tongini. The question of the mediation, we want to say, let's separate out the two processes, right? The what we have agreed, and there's no going back on this, we must go for the formal recognition of SAFTA as a member of SASA. So that must take place. The constitution must be amended, and it must represent it all, that now it will recognize then two associations, cane growers and SAFTA. And as I said, it is a messy arrangement because it's straight 50-50. Even though if you want to count people as members, it could be that SAFTA represents in terms of membership 90%. Or it could be that if you take tonnage, then you will reinforce the old apartheid divide, because obviously people were given the land exclusively. They were given 100% of the land, so obviously they have all the acreage under them, white farmers. So you cannot possibly use that as a basis for representation, ownership of land. So clearly, as I said, this they have this privilege. So we will say the constitution must be amended. As I said,
under membership.
Then secondly, what we are saying is we would have loved that the mediated agreement that both SAFTA and SASA agree to form one association, and that they work out then how it will be constituted and so on. Or they will have a confederation and they agree how to divide the spoils about them. So that is what we have. So they will again make another attempt to reach that agreement. But what we have warned the parties is, please, we gave you many chances to solve this through the mediation. Don't now come and use a mediation again to block the constitutional amendment. We are not playing games, and secondly, we are not naive. Because all of a sudden now people were very, very interested in a mediation. So we're saying, no, it's fine, because in principle we agree there should be. So what we are saying is both will take place. Hopefully the parties agree a complete agreement, and then that will be the basis to change the constitution. They will then agree on, it could be that they say we will have a unified association that will be recognized, and that will be the constitutional amendment. If that is the case, even better. But as it, if it's not the case, then simply it must be amended. And if it's not amended, then as I said, we have to then remove cane growers as a sole representative of the industry.
So we've got the one on the legislation, but the immediate intervention then, can we have someone from the committee, if you agree, and please propose a way forward then. Do you want to do that, Honourable Sanguini? We've heard what the DTI is saying, that given what the DTI is saying, then at the end of this engagement on the 12th, or failing that the 19th, that one of two options would be respected, as it were, would comply, and that one would be a unified organisation. That's the first prize. All right, am I right there, DG? The second one would be a 50-50 issue. So, and failing that not being implemented, then the DTI would take steps to re-amend the membership clause within that, as they are entitled or authorized to do. So they're the three. So that's a proposal on the table. Is it seconded? Yes. Thank you, Honourable Van Schalkwyk.
I'm seconding the proposal, Chair, except I don't think you are, the last part is the same as that the DG said, that the very last option would be if all else fails, then they would be removed as part of OSCASA. So that as the sole representative, and that they would not have 50% or 100%, but then SAFDA will
then there's 100% representation, if I'm correct. So I want to put that on record. Yeah. Thank you.
And that deals directly with membership.
Yes,
right. Members are just being alerted by the content advisor. You know, when we talk of 7 days, the old story comes up. Are we talking of calendar days or working days? I think you mentioned this, an idea about the 21 calendar days, and then if it doesn't happen, right. So that's so we're quite certain on that. Members, what we will do for the record is that we'll, you know, get this printed out, fly it past Advocate Van der Merwe, who can get some advice on it, to ensure, as I said, that it is constitutional, fair, and of course complying with parliamentary rules and regulations. Now, what is the way forward from that? We're in our last meeting. It means all we can say at this point, there will be another meeting early next year, but we can't be precise about the exact day. Are we agreed on that? At which time we would get a report back from the DTI, and we'll liaise on the day. Yes. Honourable Montash?
During the course of the deliberations, Chairperson, I made a proposal addressing the grievance of those people who came to us as Parliament to appeal, but nothing has come out of what has been said so far.
Sefta, could you please, on record, you've heard what has been put forward by the DTI, you've heard the various parties, you've heard the committee's position. Does this now address your grievances as SAFTA?
Madam Chair, I'd really like to appreciate the efforts of DTI and the efforts of this Honourable Portfolio Committee. I feel like I am a South African with rights after listening to what I'm hearing. So we do support. The one last plea would have been, if there was any kind of ubuntu amongst the parties in King Cross, for instance, to take poor levies and enjoy the luxury. I think there's some ethical, it's something unethical about that. I mean, how do you take that? How do you live with that kind of money that you know is produced by poor people and you take it because the law allows you? Where is ethics in that? If there was any form of, good intentions, would appeal that before even the legislation is changed, at least those levies be paid back. If we could get some kind of ethical behavior there.
Well, you see, as you put it, you refer to this as ethical rather than legal. You know, this is often the case. The law is the law. It's not necessarily justice. So, unfortunately, we do have to respect the law as it stands currently. But I hear the point that you're appealing for. From an ethical point of view, if current membership of South African cane growers, millers, SARS, etc., would take the point into account. That's all we can say. We can say no more than that. Because as SAFTA themselves say, it's not a legal issue. It is an ethical issue here. Yes, Honourable Klangwini?
Thanks, Jay. I don't want to put us back in where we started off, because I think we've moved as a committee. But what I want to propose to you, Chair, or just ask your guidance in, I think I will run it by you if I have maybe perhaps more questions, because that is a valid point that is raising. Maybe we need DTI to investigate more. Simultaneously with this process that is happening as well, that we do investigate the levy issue as well, the payments and things like that are being sent to millers, do they get it paid on time and things like that. So I think from DTI's perspective, just to maybe
oversee those things. So I think with some of those questions, I will run it past you, and then we can do it as a committee letter to the DTI or something.
No, that's a very good idea. If members do have other issues to raise, please submit them to, is it Mr. Medima? And yes, these things are always flown past me, even if only electronically. But all members are entitled to raise further questions and send. The challenge we may face is the timing now, this being the last day. But we do hope to keep in touch with members. And I believe you're only taking leave on the 18th, Mr. Hermans, is it? Oh, when is it, Mr. Medima?
The
15th. The 15th, my gosh. All, yes, some people have all the luck. But anyway, until the 15th, members will be electronically informed, given that you've given all your latest email addresses, even the ones that were kept under wraps. Then we have, should there be any large documents that you should see in January? And they can't get through there. I think Mr. Herman's plans and Mr. Medima, you have to make plans to have this mailed to people's valid and legal addresses. I use this. I had a most unfortunate experience with a funeral insurance company yesterday who listed a beneficiary that was non-existent. Wrong address, wrong ID, wrong existence. So one must be very cautious of addresses. Yes, and issues such as that. And that will be something I will ask finance to put on their agenda, as to how people are being forced to take out insurance and then get a copy when they did. Anyway. But be that as it may, that was a digression. But I would like to say this to the sugar industry. This committee is intent on growing the economy and creating employment. And we do that through trade, industrialization, and the regulatory architecture. The sugar industry is a very critical industry in this country. If you look just at the employment side of it, and I know that if they were to establish more research and development, more laboratories, etc., they would find other ways of processing sugar that may even be used for medical reasons, as they are doing in some countries. There's also the whole idea of bagasse, you know, what do you call that, energy from bioenergy, biofuels. So you've got a future ahead of you. What we're trying to ensure is that in the spirit and letter of the Constitution, all industries, not just the sugar industry, all industries are, you know, embrace our Constitution, and they try to deliver on that, and they ensure those in leadership positions that their associations are actively implementing the country's constitution. I think just as the private sector is concerned that members of parliament respect the constitution, so too you need to do the same thing and help us transform our country. That's not a request. It's not even an appeal. It's a reminder that you have an obligation as a South African to do this. The final point I would want to make is that, yes, I do appreciate the sugarcane growers coming here. It's a pity it was only the two of you to hear this, but at least you have had some opportunity. You will continue to have an opportunity should you remain a member, and I'm sure you have every intention of retaining that membership and therefore implementing what is required by the instructions which arise from the regulation, etc. You're a young man, Mr. Tolmash, and therefore I would be looking to you to persuade colleagues of my age in the sugar industry to change, because this is your future. They've nearly had their future. This is your future, and you need to make sure
that this is going to protect all sugarcane growers, all of us. And never forget, I worked in this industry as the intern many years ago. I know the industry fairly well, and I do believe it can transform. There are so many good people, but unfortunately, they've forgotten that silence means consent. Too many of them are silent about the way to go. And I'm expecting you to drive this transformation. I really am. And yourself, Mr. Naidu, no longer be a fence sitter, please. It's a very dangerous position to have. You can fall. Now, as we come to the end of the committee year as such, I want to take the opportunity of thanking all members. We've just got one set of minutes, which are very easy. Have they been distributed to pass? And then next year, we won't have much. Page 1 of the 15th of November. Page 2. Page 3. And then you've got the responses. Do you see that there? Right. Can we please have someone to propose the adoption? Honourable Buyani, seconded by? Yes, the Honourable Esther Hazen. And may I say that the programme has been issued. It has been slightly changed. Many of you are asking me, is the study trip going ahead? I have had personal issues to deal with, unfortunately, as you know. It is my intention to find out from the Honourable Froelich today. All right? So I will do that, and this will then be communicated electronically by the secretaries about that. All right? So there we are. We have this. I hope people will all be able to attend these public hearings and make them a priority. On that note, let me be quite personal and thank all of you who attended the launch of my book of poetry. And I may say we sold 280 books, which went down very well with me, and a further 100 this week.
Bestseller.
So, and no, we saw you there. No, it was very good of you to honour the invitation. Right. The other issue is, before we come back to business, indeed, it is my birthday this week and not last week. Tomorrow I will be 73. Now,
don't look a day over 60.
Wow.
But to come back
don't
to
look a day over 60.
I'm very kind. No, I'll persuade all those who are very close to me about that. As you know, when you're looking at the program, it refers to death relief. It was published and gazetted on the 24th, I understand. And have all members got a copy? Secondly, there was the idea we would do these radio interviews, etc. Mr. Hermans, will you talk to that, please?
I've never been lucky with this jockey.
Chairperson, I'll ask Raja, who's head of our communication division, who is in charge of that process, to give us an update on the current status of where we are on the matter.
Yeah, that's what we call delegation. Of the Kana, Kani.
Good afternoon, members. I've managed to secure some money for radio airtime. There will be interviews, 10 to 15 minutes interviews on several radio stations. So the committee secretariat will select in consultation with some members to delegate who will be on radio. We've also managed to secure some money for radio ads to be flighted. The final details will be with me later today, and then I can forward it to you, Chip.
Very good of you. Of course, the chair doesn't know every language, all 11. I don't think anyone does. And this is a committee bill. Let's get that clear. So a private member's bill, etc. So it will be preferably members speaking in their mother tongue, Mr. Herman?
Chair, we have a list of the languages members are able to hear, but we have the challenge you have, we do not have somebody who can speak Sepedi or Tswana. Those are the only two languages that we do not have an indication that someone can
Now let's have people coming up to the floor. Who speaks Sepedi? Thanks, Honourable, thanks for Urban. I always knew you had hints of trouble. And what's the other language? Swana, I thought there were quite a few.
Bit rusty on that side.
Well, you know what we can do? We may, Mr. Williams, we may have to find ourselves co-opting, and I'm looking at the Honourable Williams, Langwini, yourself, Honourable McPherson, Esther Hazen. Do we want to co-opt someone to speak on our behalf in these two other languages? It's up to you. This is your bill. No problem. Now, how many English speakers do we have? No. So that's why I say, now, we've got the languages that you can speak, haven't we, Mr. Hermans? Mr. Hermans will do the, you know, what can I say, practical contacting of you, etc. Where there is more than one speaker, English. Honourable McPherson.
Look, I often get told that I have a face for radio. I'm sure that the Honourable Williams is going to cover sufficiently the English side of things.
So just let me hear each one, which language? Honourable Williams?
English.
Honourable Van Skalkwyk? Honourable
Langwini?
Well, no, we've got several of these stations. Honourable Buyani?
Swazi.
There we are. Honourable Tiako? Tsonga, do you really speak that? It's a very difficult language. I had a student, and it's very difficult. Yes. Honourable Esther Hazen?
This is Zulu. Zulu Mtrope.
Yeah. Right. Who's, and Honourable Albert there?
Afrikaans and English.
And I don't even
a little bit of German.
Possible German thrown in. All right.
We don't have Fender. Can anyone speak Fender? Fender. Come on, down.
That in Limpopo, Bumalanga.
Is there Fender?
Who can speak Fender? All right. Well, look. I think also there's such a thing as having a something translated and you can read it, you know. I think there's that angle to it. All right? Honourable Mantash, I didn't forget you. Obviously, all right. I think we're going to be well represented. I would like you all, this is your committee bill, to speak. I really would. It's important. Speak with conviction. There may be areas you don't entirely agree with as an individual, but try to speak with some conviction, all right? I'm very, you know, I cannot express my appreciation for the hard work this year. We are the hardest working committee, and I want all of you to understand I appreciate the time away from your families. Thank you very much. On other notes, such as the department, we've had, again, another cooperative year from yourselves. There is no need for us to have a mediator. You've been thank you very much for that strong working relationship and professionalism, which through you, DG, we have experienced with all members of your staff. Honourable Williams.
Thank you, Chair. Chair, on behalf of the African National Congress, we'd like to thank you for being an excellent chairperson. And I know you drive us very hard, but without that, we won't be able to reach our goals of transforming our economy. So we'd like to thank you. Thank you very much for the year, and happy birthday tomorrow. And we'll all break into song now in all our languages. Happy birthday.
Honourable McPherson. Thank you, Honourable Williams. Honourable McPherson.
Thank you, Chair. I know we don't always get along as a committee, and that's putting it mildly at times. But I think that if I, you know, cast my eye at some of the other committees and how few days they sit, I often ask my chief whip if I can get a transfer. Because, you know, it's like Club Med in some of these other committees. But just from my side, just to thank the committee for the work, the engagement, the robust discussions, all the staff, our legal advisor, a resident in-house legal advisor, Advocate Fana Merva, and to yourself, Chair. I think that, you know, you're somewhat of a, you know, a legend in the halls of Parliament. You often get spoken about, and I often get to either confirm or deny those conversations. And from my behalf, happy birthday for the upcoming birthday, and I want to wish you and this committee a very joyful and blessed Christmas.
Thank you. Honourable McPherson, Honourable Tlangwini, followed by the Honourable Yester Hazen.
Thank you, Chair. I am new to this committee, Chair, this year, and when the Honourable Lord Shivambu put me, I was like, are you mad? But thank you so much for the warm welcoming, and it was indeed a learning curve, and it is a learning curve, and that is how each committee should be. And and pushing forward transformation, and regardless of whether which political party you are coming from, we disagree and stuff like that, but when it affects the people on the ground and stuff like that, we speak with one voice, because that is our constituencies. And I'd like to thank you for being a very good leader. When I faced my challenges and struggles this year, thank you very much on a personal note that we can speak and you can give me that voice of encouragement, and that is what leaders should do. And happy birthday for tomorrow, and don't grow older. Me and you can have in our church, where we meet so regularly, something for the birthday. Maybe today, it's a good day for me today, so at least we can have one in our church where we meet. Yeah. Thank you, Chair.
Yesterday.
I want to know that church.
Albert.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I also would like to say thank you for your leadership throughout the years. We are the longest serving members since 2009, and it's a privilege to have served under your leadership. Since then, I think this committee, as other members have said, works very hard. I think we work the hardest, but we are also the most important committee in Parliament, because we must ensure that the economy works. If the economy doesn't work, then we will have chaos in our country. So it's important to have your leadership. You must please not go away anywhere. Stay where you are. We do need you. You are an important interface with the governing party and with the departments. And I also wish to thank you for giving me space to deal with some personal matters on my side this year. I really appreciate that. And to next year, we will be back in full force, and we'll be working hard to work for the country and its people. I want to say to you, I hope you have a very wonderful birthday tomorrow, and that you are blessed in the year that comes. And I also want to say to all the members here with me, there's some new members as well, thank you for your cooperation. We do differ sometimes based on ideology and practical issues, but I think we all have one thing we agree about, and that is that the country must grow, the economy must grow, we must create jobs, we must alleviate poverty, and in that sense we are united, and we will go forward in that way. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Honourable
Elvis.
Honourable
Yesterhazen. Thank you, Madam Chair. I'm going to echo Honourable McPherson's thoughts, and our caucus also, your work rate is something that we, when I suggested I sit on other meetings and if I could swap, we nearly had fist fights in our group. Nobody wants to come here. Samuel worked great. I can still say that, you know, you are still a young girl. And we don't need a military to remove you like we've seen. And so I'm wishing you all the best and God bless. May you have a wonderful, I know your husband also, and I wish you all a very happy Christmas. And all the members, the DG and everyone involved, the committee members, to everyone and all your families, God bless.
Members, the last thing is for me to thank the staff sitting up here. Mr. Herland, you certainly know the rules and the table, etc., better than anyone in this room. Thank you for your guidance. Mr. Medema, your beautiful creative turn of phrase is always welcome. A little bit more technicality now, but thank you. Yourself, Ms. Sheldon, thank you very much for the long backroom work you give us. There's also, I don't see her, but Ms. Madalani, the researcher who I know does a lot more than just research. Is everyone calling you up, can you do this, can you do the next thing? We do appreciate that. You're a font of wisdom and institutional memory. Thank you very much. Yourself, Ms. Naidu, you don't work for us per se. You're the DTI Parliamentary Liaison Officer. But without you, I don't think the meetings would flow as smoothly as they have. We wouldn't get people here. Ms. Azarkani, thank you for always preparing the media articles or whatever promptly. And right at the back there, I can see the fair hair advocate, Van der Merwe, who's often called to ensure that this committee remains within the rules of Parliament, but also the Constitution. Now, I'm looking around me to see who I may have left out. It's Olivia, a new member of the committee, Ms. Seabrook. Well, you know, as you can see, there's no sea breeze here. But look, Mr. Seabritz, you don't realize how valuable the work is. And I'm sure members, now that you've been receiving the packaging, there's this bill in a pack. I'm sure you find that helpful. But for those of us who are better on the laptops, it is going to be important that next year Parliament is doing its best to be paperless and that we all have these light little laptops or whatever, with everything going straight there. Yourself, Honourable Macpherson, you've perfected that, haven't you? That little apple of yours. So if all of us, though, can do this, we've been asked as chairs to remind you we are supposed to be a paperless parliament, and we haven't moved very far in that direction. I hope I haven't left anyone out. That is often the danger when you start to thank individuals, as I found out during this service yesterday. Who have we forgotten? Of the committee. Well, there may be members from the ANC staff administration, such as Janssen, who's here, and Malengisi, but they are members of a particular caucus. But where is my own secretary?
Tandi.
Oh, right, she's not here at the moment. Without Tandiswa Makanda, no one would get a meeting with me. Without her, I wouldn't even be here on time, or closely on time. Ms. Makanda runs my diary. I'm not sure what, you know, but certainly very rigidly and robustly, and will not allow me any longer to make meetings because I used to, what do you call it, you know, double book, and because people approach you in a corridor, please chair, and you say yes, 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 and I do want to thank her, and I please convey that. Please convey to all of your staff, Herber, DG, our appreciation. And all the members here this morning from the sugarcane industry, You're all members of one family, including Sasta. It's just that the family's got to find itself again. That's how I see it. The first meeting we will be returning to in 2018, meeting, I didn't talk about study tours, will be on the 30th, I understand, of January, which is a Tuesday, at 9 o'clock. We begin with the public hearings on the committee bill dealing with debt intervention. And you probably know that we do try to get all the parties to participate in this. Some of you recall, with, you know, nostalgia, how it used to be. I would like to see that done again because we are all members of one committee, and this is a committee bill. So I'm hoping we can work together collegiately to serve the people of South Africa. On that note, I wish you a very pleasant and safe festive season. For those who are practicing the Christian faith, a happy Christmas. For those of you who aren't, enjoy the holiday. Thank you. Meeting adjourned.